Over the last several weeks, we started a series. We've been on a series on the prophet Jonah. The prophet Jonah. How many here have ever read the prophet Jonah? It's only four chapters. Okay, well, let's talk about Jonah a little bit. Let me give you kind of an overview of the prophet Jonah. Jonah was given a mandate by God. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to that nation. We find this in chapter 1. And so Jonah decides to do his own thing. He runs in the opposite direction instead to Tarshish. So Jonah disobeyed God. And last week, just to review, last week we studied seeking and hearing, humbling ourselves and seeking the face of God. And you know, friends, Jonah had options in his life. He had two options. He had the option to either obey what God was telling him to do, to go to Nineveh and preach repentance. And the other option he had was to disobey and to do his own thing. Which option did Jonah choose? Jonah chose to disobey and go to Tarshish instead. And because he disobeyed, there was a storm that arose on the waters, and he found himself eventually in the belly of a whale. And friends, in our lives, thousands of years later, we will have options facing us, choices facing us. And you know, there's a good thing that we can do, and then there's the God thing. You know, you may be wondering about which city you should move to. Should you stay in Tulsa, or should you move to San Francisco? And you might be thinking in your mind, man, it's a really good idea to move to San Francisco, and your own mind is telling you, yes, yeah, San Francisco, or Dallas, or Los Angeles, that might be a good move for you to make. Or you could stay in Tulsa. So you've got options. And friends, we need to seek the face of God on a continual basis before we make any decision in life. And I'm preaching to myself today and just humbling ourselves before God and saying, God, I've got options. I can stay in Tulsa or I can move to Louisiana. God, what are you wanting me to do? And let God speak to you, because God is wanting you to take the best option in life. God has got the best in store for you. So we want to do the God thing, the best thing for our lives, as opposed to just the good thing. Amen?
Amen.
In order to find out what the God thing is, what the best thing is for us, we need to seek the face of God and say, God, what is it that you're wanting me to do? And you know, Jonah ended up in the belly of the whale. And we find out that in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah in the belly of the whale was humbled. He was humiliated pretty much, and he humbled himself and said, God, you know, I've messed up, and God, I'm sorry about what I've done, and God, I repent. I change my mind from doing my own thing, God, to now doing your thing. So Jonah humbled himself, and that's the thing we need to do, friends. We need to humble ourselves when we face choices in life. Pray to God about the thing he's wanting us to do, the God thing, the best path to take. And once we hear his voice and God says, this is the job I want you to take, this is the city I want you to move to, this is the ministry I want you involved with, once God speaks and you clearly hear the voice of God, then take action and obey what God is telling you to do. Because if you obey, the consequences will be awesome. There will be positive consequences in your life. You will be blessed in everything that you put your hand to. Amen? And so Jonah, in Jonah chapter 3, after he humbled himself and he prayed to God in Jonah chapter 2, in Jonah chapter 3, he hears God speaking to him. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And it almost sounds like maybe Jonah might have heard the audible voice of God. You know, he might have heard God with his ears. And, you know, a lot of times today, God is not going to speak to us audibly, where we're going to hear him say, move to Dallas, or get involved with that church across town, you know, or take this job as opposed to that job. We're not going to hear his voice audibly that way in this day and age, right? But God still speaks, and we need to discern the voice of God. And last week we talked about some of the ways in which God speaks, how to hear the voice of God. A lot of times God will speak with a still small voice of peace. If God is telling you, yes, I want you to take this job at the BOK Center, you'll have peace on the inside that surpasses any human understanding. But if God is saying, no, I don't want you to move to Fort Worth, you'll have no peace on the inside. He's giving you a red light. He's saying, stop, stand still, stay in Tulsa. So we need to discern the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit speaks in a still small voice of peace. And if God is saying, yes, this is the path I want you to take, you'll have peace on the inside. If God is saying, no, this is not the path I want you to take, you won't have any peace on the inside. You'll have only turmoil. Amen? Another way that God speaks to us a lot of times is through His written word. It's a light to our paths. Amen? His written word. And in order for God to speak to us through His written word, the Bible, we've got to be in the Bible on a consistent basis. We've got to be reading and meditating upon and memorizing the Scriptures. Amen? So if you want God to speak to you through His written word, you got to start cracking the book. Is that making sense? All right. Today we're going to talk about another chance. Another chance. We serve the God of another chance. Jonah chapter 3, if you've got a Bible. You can read with me. If not, I'll read it to you. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. God spoke to Jonah a second time. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. So we would agree that Jonah suffered quite a bit in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. Amen? Because of his first act of disobedience. See, God told him the first time to go to Nineveh, right? And Jonah disobeyed and went to where instead? He went to Tarshish. And because he disobeyed, he found himself in the belly of the whale. And you know, it might have been hot in there, in the belly of a whale. Could you imagine? Seaweed wrapped around his head. It probably was smelly. He was perspiring like crazy. And Jonah, I think, learned his lesson in the belly of the whale. Would you agree? He learned his lesson to obey God the next time. And had he disobeyed God the second time that God spoke to him, who knows? He could have been in the belly of the whale for a month, or for 3 months, or for 6 months, right? Because God spoke to him a second time. And it says it in Jonah 3:1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. He gave Jonah a second chance to do what? He gave Jonah a second chance to obey his mandates. And this time, Jonah did the God thing in verse 3 of Jonah 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. He preached repentance to the nation of Nineveh, and the entire nation repented before God. We serve the God of another chance. Amen? Say it with me today. I serve the God of another chance. The God who does not give up on me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me ask you this question today. Think about this question. Is it possible that you're in the place you are in today because in the past you disobeyed a mandate, a word that God gave you? Let me say it again. Is it possible you're in the tough place you're in today because you disobeyed a word, a command that God gave you concerning your life at some point in the past? Is it possible that you're still shackled by that addiction because maybe God spoke to you in the past and told you to take courses, to take steps to overcome the addiction, and you never took the courses, you never took the steps? Maybe God told you to stay away from the presence of drugs, to stay away from the presence of alcohol, and you disobeyed Him and didn't do it, and so you're stuck in the belly of addiction today? Is it possible that you're at where you're at today because you disobeyed God at some point in the past? And could it be that you're in the cave of depression, in the belly of depression and sorrow today because of disobedience to God in the past? Maybe God was telling you to step out beyond yourself and help somebody in greater need than yourself, to share the gospel with a person or share the gospel with a group of people, and you didn't do it, and so you're stuck in the cave of depression today because you never obeyed what God told you to do. So you're in the belly of depression and sorrow and grief today. You know, one of the ways to step out of depression is to take the focus off yourself and focus on helping somebody else. Let me say it again. One of the ways to step out of the belly of depression and grief and sorrow is to take the focus off yourself in your problems, and to focus on helping somebody else in greater need than you. Amen? Could it be that you're in the belly of a broken relationship today because God spoke to you at some point in the past about that relationship? Maybe God said, told you to make a phone call to that person. Maybe God spoke to you and told you to write that person a note. Maybe God told you to just meet with that person and try to reunite and try to reconcile the relationship. And God spoke to you and you knew that God spoke to you. You just knew it, that you knew it, that you knew it, that God spoke to you on the inside, but you, instead of acting upon what he told you to do, you disobeyed. You didn't make the phone call, maybe. Maybe you didn't write the notes. Maybe you never met with the person. And so you're in the belly of a broken relationship today. Just like Jonah, in the belly of the whale because he disobeyed what God told him to do. Is it possible that you're in the belly of a lack of finances today because you disobeyed something God told you to do in the past? Maybe he told you to apply to different jobs, consistently apply, until you landed an interview. Maybe God told you to be diligent and faithful to an employer so that when he told you to come in at 8:30, maybe you were coming in at 8:45 or 9. And if he told you to work until 5, maybe you worked until 4:30. And you disobeyed God's command to you to be diligent to the employer. And could it be that you're suffering in the belly of a lack of finances today because you disobeyed God and you're stuck today? But there's good news, friends. There is good news for us today. Just as God gave Jonah a second chance to obey and preach repentance to Nineveh, he is the God of another chance for your life as well. Let me say it again. Just as God gave Jonah another chance in Jonah chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 to preach good news to Nineveh, he is the God of another chance for your life and my life. You can climb out of the belly of the whale that you might be in today. Maybe God is giving you another chance to obey and get yourself out of this mess. But you know, friends, listen to this. Should you decide to disobey, you'll slip deeper into the belly of the whale. If God is speaking to you, again, saying, stay away from alcohol, stay away from drugs, stay away from fortune tellers. You know, fill out those job applications. You know, reconcile with that person. Work diligently. And if God is speaking to you to do these things, and should you decide not to do what God is telling you to do, guess what? You'll just slip deeper and deeper and deeper into that pit, into that cave, into the belly of the whale. How many here want to slip deeper into the belly of the whale? Because the further back you go, the harder it is to get out. Now, you guys have probably heard this story before. I've done a lot of missionary work in the country of India, bringing the gospel, sharing with pastors. And in 2006, I had this bright idea. My mind came up with a good idea. Why don't you go to the nation of Hong Kong and bring the gospel there? So I decided to apply with an organization that another friend had told me about. They accepted me. I paid my money. And make a long story short, I went to California, trained, had my team of 18 to 21-year-olds, about 10 or 11 of them, and we went to Hong Kong. And friends, guess what? The trip was a fiasco. I found myself in the belly of a whale, stuck in Hong Kong. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I never even consulted with the Spirit of God as to whether or not I should go to Hong Kong. You know, and I believe that God might have been speaking to me all along as I applied here in the United States and paid the monies and went to California. God might have been speaking all along, Jonathan, you need to get out. This is not what I'm wanting you to do for right now. And every act of disobedience put me deeper and deeper into the belly of the whale, to the point where I was in Hong Kong. I was 2 weeks into it, and it was a miserable experience. My whole team of young 18 to 21-year-olds turned against me. And because I disobeyed and didn't consult the Spirit of the living God over the months of 2006 before I went to Hong Kong, you know, because I did not consult God and I was walking in rebellion, I was getting deeper and deeper into the belly of the whale. So March came about, I applied. April, May I got a little deeper. June, I got a little deeper. July, I got a little deeper into the belly of the whale to the point where I was stuck in this nation. And I remember thinking to myself while I was in Hong Kong, man, I don't need to be here. But I thought to myself, man, it's too late. I didn't consult God. I was walking in rebellion. I never even talked to God about this decision. but God rescued me at the same time. It was tough to get out of that situation. It was tougher for me to get out of Hong Kong because I had gotten so deep into it by my acts of rebellion. And friends, it might be the same with you, that God might be speaking to you. You see, if you're not consulting God about a certain thing in your life, if you're not talking to God first, you might be walking rebelliously in disobedience. And if you walk rebelliously and in disobedience, guess what? Like me, you're going further and further into the belly of the whale. You're sinking deeper and deeper in the pit that you might be in today. The pit of addiction, the pit of depression, the pit of financial lack, the pit of disease and illness in your body. So I encourage you to start obeying the Spirit of the living God. God is merciful. Amen? He's the God who wants to give us another chance. He gave Jonah a second chance. Would you agree? In Jonah chapter 3? Yeah. And when he gave Jonah that second chance and spoke to him a second chance, what did Jonah decide to do? He decided to do what? Go to Nineveh. He decided to obey. Every act of obedience, think about it this way, every act of obedience will bring you closer and closer to the ultimate destiny that God has for your life. Every act of obedience to God will put you exactly where God is wanting you in your life. And as I said, the opposite is true. Every act of disobedience to God will put you further and further away from what God has called and destined you to do. Amen? Making sense? Say it with me today. I want to walk in obedience to God in every area of my life. It'll bring me closer to His destiny for me. Amen? You might be wondering today, why would God want to give me another chance? Anybody ever wonder that? Why would God want to give me another chance? And maybe today you're obsessing over past failures, mistakes, acts of disobedience to God. And when you look at yourself, you see yourself according to your past rebellion against God. And so maybe today you're full of regrets. You can't seem to go forward. You might be thinking to yourself, I would have, I could have, I should have. But friends, think about this. If you're trying to drive a car forward, right, but you're looking backward, you'll never be able to go forward successfully. Would you agree? You might hit a tree. You might hit someone. You might hit a wall. So think of your lives as that car. If you're looking to go forward with the thing that God has for you, stop looking backwards. Stop looking behind you. Stop looking at the past. Don't let the past imprison and paralyze you. Start looking forward to the greater thing that God has for you. You know, it's the enemy's trick to get you looking back to your past disobedience to God. But that's not the way God sees you. God sees you in a new light if He sees you in a new light if you humble yourself and repent as Jonah did in Jonah chapter 2. God sees you as a brand new slate. God sees you as a new person if you humble yourself and repent like Jonah did in Jonah chapter 2. Now, maybe at one time you were in Christ, but maybe you slipped out of relationship with Christ because you rebelled against God. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that you can repent. You can come back into relationship with Jesus Christ. What does Paul the Apostle write in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if anybody is in Christ Jesus, he is a brand new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Friend, your past is behind you. Leave the past where it belongs, in the past. God sees you in a new light. He sees you as a brand new slate if you humble yourself before Him and say, God, away with my will, and God, I want your will to be done in my life. God, I repent. God, I change my mind from going my way, from doing my will, to going your way and doing your will in Jesus' name. Amen? That's all God is looking for, is repentance. And maybe, like I said, maybe you followed Christ at one time, but you slipped away from Him. For God to see you as a brand new slate, you've got to re-give your life back to Christ. You've got to say, Jesus, I followed you at one time. Jesus, I slipped away, but Jesus, today I recommit my life to you. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. Of every part of my life. Look at Romans 5:1. Romans 5, verse 1. Paul the Apostle writes, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ, by recommitting your life to Christ, by putting the entirety of your life into the hands of Jesus, you become justified. What does it mean to be justified, friends? What does it mean to be justified? It means to be clothed with a robe of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. It's a gift that God gives you when you place faith in Jesus Christ. When you think of the word justified, think of this. Just as if I had never sinned. Say it with me. Justified.
Justified.
Just as if I had never sinned. Had never sinned. See, you're justified just as if I had never disobeyed God. That's the way God sees you. See, when you give your life to Christ, when you recommit your life to Jesus Christ, God sees you as a brand new person just as if I had never disobeyed. Is that making sense? God sees you as a brand new slate, as a person who has a second lease, a new lease on life. He's the God of another chance. He's a merciful God. So you've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. In Proverbs 23:7, it says this, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. If you think of yourself as so low that you can do a push-up under a penny, guess what? You're not going to go anywhere with your life. If you keep looking back and thinking, man, I disobeyed God in the past. I rebelled against God in the past. He told me to apply to this job and I didn't do it. He told me to take this course to overcome this addiction and I never did it, man. He told me to change my diet up for physical health and I never did it. If you keep going back to the past, you'll never go forward. Don't see yourself as a disobedient person. See yourself as God sees you by faith in Christ. As a person who is now obedient. As a person who has a new lease on life. As a brand new slate. Think about this. Justified, just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I had never disobeyed. When God looks at you at the point that you accept Christ, or at the point that you recommit your life to Jesus, when God looks at you, He doesn't see your sinful past. He doesn't see your disobedient past. Guess what He sees? He sees Jesus Christ, the sinless and spotless one. So when you say, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord, or when you say, Jesus, I re-give my life to you, guess what? When God looks at you, He sees His Son, Jesus, the perfect one, the spotless one, the one who will obey. Amen? And so many times in my own life, and even in relationships where, looking back now, you know, where I opened up doors to relationships, in the past, and even recently, over the last 3 years, I opened up a door to a relationship that I never even consulted God about. And it became more and more serious. Looking back at it, it became a mess. It was a mess of a situation. And when I look back at it, I thought, man, you know what? I never consulted God about getting into this friendship, this relationship. And it became really difficult for me to get out of. But you know what? I'm not going to look at my life based on that act of rebellion. I'm going to look at my life that I have a new lease on life. That the next time I have the opportunity for a relationship, I am going to consult the Spirit of God. Because if I don't, I might be doing just a good thing. I might be setting myself up for a trap. But I want to do the God thing for my life. I want to do the best thing for my life. So I need to consult God and I need to obey what He's telling me to do. Away with the disobedience, the rebellion, and in with obedience to God. Amen?